Okay, I think we're all set. Terrific. Thank you, gentlemen. You did a great job. And what a blessing. What a blessing. Today we're speaking of fathers, and of course we're running just a little late in the service, so I'll try to move right along. I'll keep it under 2 hours today, and we'll work that man. There's a calm went whoosh, just like that as soon as I said that. I want to talk about somebody special today as we think of fathers. And as we think of the Word of God and we think of difficult situations, we live in a difficult day, don't we? A lot of wickedness around us. A lot of decisions are being made. Every day my phone is bombarded with news on new laws that are trying to be implemented regarding our country that are anti-biblical laws, trying to force individuals to accept certain lifestyles that are totally unbiblical, as we've said in the past, Christianity is being bombarded on a regular basis with those who are trying to say this isn't a Christian nation, and they're trying everything they can to push away from it being a Christian nation. And then we're faced in every place we go, whether it be the store or whether it be the mall or whether it be the television or computers or whatever, we're bombarded with wickedness, wicked attitudes, wicked lifestyles, things that are considered perversion. And so in a general sense, we see a day where we say it seems like it's more wicked than it's ever been before. And so we come down to a point where in our hearts and in our minds sometimes it's almost like there's a feeling of giving up. I even had one lady one time tell me years ago, she said, you know, I don't want my kids to be different. I don't want them at school to be pointed out by the other kids like they're freaks or they're weirdos, so I tell them to try to fit in and go along with everything that goes on there when I had just preached a message on standing for the Lord, being different, not being afraid to be different, being willing to be what God would have you to be. I think I said, which I've said many times, you know, any dead fish can swim downstream. You know, you can float along with the crowd. You don't have to even be alive to do that. But it takes an alive fish to go against the current, to go up the stream. Don't you love watching salmon as they jump the dam and as they make that effort and as they go upstream and the effort that they're putting in it? You see life, you see exuberance, but they're going the other direction from many of the rest of the fish, and especially going the other direction from the river. That's why they're making those leaps, and it's hard to figure out how they do that, and yet you realize God's built that within them. I know the bears like it. They stand on top of the dam and say, thank you, as they come along in that regard. But in general, we need individuals that are willing to stand. And we say, oh, it's more wicked than it's ever been before. Well, I was thinking about that, and I thought, it's more wicked than it's ever been before. And then I realized, you know, no, it's really not. If you go back to the book of Genesis, if you will, turn to chapter 6 with me, Genesis chapter 6. You will find that there was a time more wicked than today because there wasn't anybody who was not wicked. I think that was a double negative. Take it like I mean it, okay? Everybody was wicked. Everybody was wicked. In fact, the Bible says that in chapter 6 of Genesis. Verse 1, it tells us of that day, and we want to talk about Noah. Noah's one that we look at as a superhero. We look at him as a Superman-type individual. He was greater than we are or than men are today. He was a man of stature that was far beyond anything we can reach or attain, and yet that's not true at all. Noah was a man. He was a man who merely listened to God. He was a man who honored God. And for that reason, God honored him. God blessed him. Was I supposed to dismiss this?
It's up to you. I'm ready.
What would you drive? I just saw kids moving, so I was kind of wondering there. Okay. Yeah, this will be a good one. Keep them here. Yeah, we'll do that. Okay, thank you. Parents, if you will, yeah, if your kids come back, let them sit with you if you would. Okay. Go back to Pastor John. Go back to Pastor John. Again, such a day as Noah comes to, and the wickedness on the earth is so great, and here's a man who, the Bible tells us several things about him, and I thought, what we need is some Noahs today. Amen. We need some Noahs today, and especially as men, as we think of being fathers, several things Noah did. In fact, we're going to get our basic outline. We'll go back to Hebrews. You say, well, I never thought of that, but we'll go back to Hebrews and look at chapter 11 and verse 7 there in finding the outline that we want to talk about Noah for just a little bit as far as his life was concerned. But let's look at chapter 6 and verse 1. I had a plan to do a lot of reading today from the scripture. I think that's a good thing to do. And we're still going to read some of that, so hang with me and we'll make our points and try to get you out here before supper. Anyway, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the earth, face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Now, there's a lot of stories about this passage. Many have said, well, these sons of God are fallen angels who came to the earth, and they had physical relations with the beautiful women that were on earth, and so these supermen came out of it, and they were giants of renown, and all of that, as the passage almost sounds like that's what it's intimating. However, according to Scripture, if you really stop and think about it, would those individuals have the fallen nature of Adam? No, because Adam wouldn't be their father. And so all of a sudden, you're throwing yourself into a doctrinal difficulty, aren't you? Because we're saying all men are under sin because all men have sinned. And well, the Bible says all the sin came from the first Adam, who was Adam. Well, here you'd have a group of individuals who were not, their father wasn't Adam. And so then you start all of these things, and then you get some stories going that it just creates some really interesting questions. And so we have to come back and actually realize Adam, as he had sons, we remember Abel was a follower of God. And in fact, another child that they had later, Seth, the scripture actually says he was a son of God. In other words, he was one who followed God, lived for God, and his life was wrapped around being what God wanted him to be. And then his children were taught that way. So we have a line come down, and actually Noah is in that line of Seth, the line of the godly ones, the line of Cain, and then other children that Adam had after that. Obviously, they began to turn and become wicked. They became involved in the wickedness and just tried to conceive of every type of wickedness that they could find and everything that they could be involved in, to the point where when we come to the scripture here again, the Bible tells us in verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Somebody said, well, the men were living a long time at that point, which they were, and there are several reasons for that. We're not going to go into all that, but 900 years, that's a long time. Somebody can get really wicked in 900 years. They can get wicked in 2 days. Can you imagine having that long to build up a wickedness? Yet God was saying, I'm going to only let you remain on the earth another 120 years. And so we find there were giants on the earth in those days, it says, and also afterward. This can involve the animals that were on the earth. What type of animals do we consider to be giants? Some of the what? Dinosaurs, okay? And some of the large dinosaurs, a lot of those things. Many stories have come down through the ages, many of them based on truth as to what was there, and they've even found skeletal remains to prove that and stuff. So many things were there. The giants were there afterward. And then it says, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, they bore children to them. Those were mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And so some, because of that, take off and say, well, this is where Hercules came from, and some of those stories, because the angels and individuals. And yet the Bible tells us in the New Testament, Jesus talks about the angels, and he said they're not married or given in marriage. So that has nothing to do with them. And so there's just a lot there that doesn't work. Now, is it possible that men were controlled by demonic hosts yes, and great wickedness was on the earth. All of that fits the bill a lot more. But then the Bible says in verse 5, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was what? Only evil continually. How many of you think much of our society is that way? It's only evil continually. You can't say anything, do anything. The evil isn't devised or brought out of it. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Now, I can't imagine, again, when you think of God and don't have time to go into all of it, but when he placed man in the garden, made a beautiful place for him, gave him perfect everything, and designed it so that man could enjoy that which he had created to the very fullness of joy. And yet, in the midst of that, a man chooses instead his own way, and look at the wickedness that was brought on the earth and the end of that wickedness, the evil that was there. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the earth, from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible tells us later that Noah was righteous. Now, who else was righteous along with Noah? The Bible doesn't tell us. I mean, his wife got to go with him. His three sons and their wives got to go with him. But the Bible just says Noah was righteous. In other words, here was a man by himself living righteously in the midst of a wicked, wicked, wicked culture. A man who'd still chosen to follow God. Noah begot, and the Bible says this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth. Indeed, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark. Cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window in the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door in the ark in its side, and you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh which is in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you, and of every living thing on the earth, flesh, or every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you, and they shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of the animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you say, well, how did he go gather them all? He didn't. You notice God brought them. Said they will come to you. And you shall take for yourself of all the food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Now, several important truths that you see there concerning Noah. First of all, as you see him being given the dimensions of the ark and everything, he wouldn't have had an idea what to do, but he happened to go to Methuselah Baptist Church, and they gave him one of these pens. And Methuselah is the Old Testament version of Maranatha. Didn't know if you knew that or not. But so he got one of these pens, and so he had some inches on there he could work with, and that's how he figured out the cubit and all of that. But anyway, Noah was a man who, first of all, was righteous, and second of all, look at the great job that God gave him. Look at the great job that God gave him. This job was, how many of you have been to the ark down in Kentucky? How many of you had the opportunity? Several of you, not everybody. Everybody needs to go. If you get an opportunity, you say, I don't know where to go on vacation, go down there and see the ark. It will change your whole perspective on everything. Once you step in, you see the magnitude of it. You see they've done the best to figure out how they would have stored food on the grain, on the ark. They do their best to show even cages and different things on the ark set there. And what you're amazed at is there's still space. There's still space. It is amazing when it's all laid out, just as the scripture said, and they use the dimensions and things they do. It's an amazing thing to see. You'll come away in awe. When the first time I drove in the parking lot and you can see the ark in the distance from the parking lot, tears came to my eyes. It was a moving experience because you begin to see in real life what God had directed Noah to do. And they've done everything they can to make it the most lifelike, the most real in that. But one of the things that stood out is they used modern day equipment. They had cranes lifting the beams. They had excavators. They had all the different things to carry the wood and bring in the wood. The wood was sawn when it was brought in. It was made for them. They had Amish individuals working, helping with it, the structure, all that. And I look at it and I think, Noah didn't have that. He didn't have that. He had his sons, and more than likely he hired a lot of help as far as getting what God said to get. God helped him in that regard and supplying all of that. But it was an amazing thing. 100 years, 120 years to build that ark. The whole time he's doing what? He's preaching to the people, the Bible tells us. And he's telling them the end is coming. He's telling them the end is coming. Now, an interesting thing the scripture also tells us is that it had never rained before this point. That water had come up from the earth to water the earth. And so, as you look at it, Noah's told there's going to be rain coming down from the sky and it's going to cover the earth. You're going to need that ark and all the animals because that's how you're going to be saved. Noah's sitting there and you have to again think about his mind at that point. Here he's hearing about something. First of all, he's never seen a flood. He's never seen that large of a body of water. He's never seen rain. And yet God says this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. These things are going to take place. This is what's going to happen to the earth. Now, again, man, yeah, I hope you'll read chapter 7 and meditate on it. Chapter 8 and meditate on it. Chapter 9 and meditate on it. Each passage has so many amazing facts and also descriptions of the things that we can get spiritual principles from for the life of Noah. But take your Bibles, if you will, and turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now Hebrews, again, is a book speaking to the Jewish people. That's why it's called Hebrews. It was written to them on things concerning Christ. They were still trying to hang on to many of their old ways and old superstitions. And so the writer of Hebrews begins one by one to show how Christ is greater than all the things from the past that they had followed and how Christ fulfilled the types of each one of those things. And then they come, and we call it the Hall of Faith, the great faith chapter, as it's speaking of those individuals who had followed the Lord, lived for the Lord. And as you come to chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you say, boy, I wonder how to explain that. I can tell you how to explain it. Think of Noah. Right away, immediately, we have a perfect illustration. And in fact, all the types that are given to us are perfect illustrations. But Noah had to come up with a picture in his mind. God said, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be a rain. I've not seen rain. You're going to build a boat. I've never seen a boat. And you're not just going to build a boat, you're going to build a big boat. A big boat. And then all the animals are going to come to you and walk in the ark. I'm sure up to that time, that wasn't the case where all the animals would just come up to you. And so this was going to be something God had to place within the hearts of the animals and bring them to him. And then he had to collect enough food. You notice that was on here. He had to collect enough water. I'm sure they had plenty of water from the rain, But they had to set up a system to catch the water. Even as Bob mentioned, they had to use rainwater a lot until they were able to drill a well. Well, Noah had to come up with a system on the ark, and they've got that, so you can see it there when you go to the museum there where the ark is. They've designed those things. Some tremendous-minded individuals have had part in that, coming up with ways that that took place. They got all the water vessels on there, the clay pots. They've got all the food containers, all the different things. But I look at it, and I'm just I just stand there overwhelmed. I'm thinking, I don't even know how they came up with this in this time period, and yet Noah had to accomplish all that in his time period. He hadn't seen any of that. So evidence of things not seen. In other words, God said this is what's going to happen, and Noah believed. Noah believed God. And look what it says in verse 7. Well, let's read verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you want to be the kind of dad you ought to be, you have to have faith. First of all, you have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to trust him as your Lord and Savior. Second of all, you have to have faith to believe that God not only saves you, but his word will lead and guide you. You can go your own way and make your own decisions, and a lot of people do, a lot of men do, more do than not, sadly. Or you can trust God and say, he says this, if I do this, he'll do this. And then you get to see the joy of what comes about when you are willing to follow the Lord in that way and listen to him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek him. God says, if you by faith will trust him, he will reward you because you're seeking him. What a blessing. But see, we don't even have faith in that. Sometimes we don't even have faith in that. And yet, if I trust God, you say, well, I don't see it. That's the whole idea. Believe. Believe because God said it. Some people you don't believe. I understand that. But God, you can believe. Now, look what he says about Noah in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things, notice what it says, not yet seen. Not yet seen. So in other words, again, Noah, all this stuff that God told him was all something that had never been seen before, and he had to take it by faith because he believed God. Now it says he walked with God, even in a wicked day, and that's the first sign, walking with God. How do you walk with God? Again, can you walk with God if you don't read your Bible? You want to take a vote? Can you walk with God if you don't read your Bible? Everybody that believes that, say yes. If you don't believe, you can, if you believe you can walk with God without your Bible, you raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand. No. No. Read your Bible. You say, well, I've got to do, oh, I've got to read my Bible. No. For strength, for hope, for guidance, for joy every day when you see what God's doing and what he's accomplished, what he wants to accomplish. He gives you the opportunity to change. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us what's the word of God's for. Points out where we err, and it points out how to change that error. And then it points out how in the future to live so we won't have that error in our life and we can please God and be blessed. I mean, it gives us all of that in the scriptures. And so we do that. Prayer, that's another way we walk with God because we talk to God. He talks to us through his word. We talk to him. We talk about things that are going on. He becomes our close friend as we pray, as we speak of the events of the day and the things that are going on and all the difficulties that we're facing, and there's a bond that builds there, and God is honored when we honor him, and he honors us when we honor him, and he blesses us, and it's an amazing opportunity to, as men, to walk with God. Noah believed those things not yet seen. What'd he do? Belief brings a second thing, and that's action. Action. Because he believed, he moved with godly fear. He moved with godly fear. And so, in other words, he said, I know God, and I know that what he says is true. I honor him. He is mighty. He is powerful. He told me what he's going to do, and I know he can do it. He's going to judge wickedness. Number one, I don't want to be part of the wicked. Number two, I want to do what he says. And so you see Noah making that step in his life to go ahead and follow God and follow exactly what he'd laid down. And so first, He had faith. He had to believe what God told him, though he couldn't see it. Second, he had to go ahead and obey and follow that faith in his life by doing those things that God asked him to do. So he moved with godly fear. What did he do? He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. For the saving of his household. This amazed me. There's more to it. Because his household was saved, mankind was saved. Because his household was saved, a Savior came later to the earth to bring about salvation for all men who would be on earth. Because Noah moved, he saved his house, but in doing that, he also made it possible for salvation to be brought about to the whole world. Noah saved his household. And you know, many dads don't realize it. You turn the leadership spiritually over to your wife, you take care of that. You turn guidance for your children over to your wife. We send our kids out looking just like the world, acting just like the world, and we wonder why they come home with all the issues of the world. Dads are responsible for that. Dads are responsible for how their daughters dress. Oh, it's going to get quiet in here in a minute. Dads are responsible. Moms say, oh, let her alone, da-da-da-da-da. No, 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 no. Dads are responsible. Dads are responsible. Need to have a godly way of dressing, not like the world. You say, what is that? Again, the Holy Spirit will lead. If a dad's really right with God, he'll look at his daughter and he'll say, you know what? You don't look like you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody looked at you, that isn't the first thought they would have. Wives, guess what? Your husband should be in charge of what you wear. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It is. Because of where we are. But why? Because, again, we want to be people that honor God. We want to be people that honor God. Am I laying down a bunch of rules? I'm not. I'm just trying to tell you, the Bible tells us that we need to be modest. Yes. Right. It says that. Be modest. Yes. Modesty, it talks about. I'm not giving you, don't do this, don't do that. I'm saying, do you represent the Lord? If you draw people to your physical appearance and they have thoughts that are not right, then that's not godly appearance, is it? Okay, you say, well, if some men could look at a woman, she could be wearing a gunny sack and they'd think that. Well, you're not responsible for them, but you are responsible for those that you would draw away otherwise. And so that's why just Noah had to take that kind of responsibility. He had to be concerned about his family. He had to save them. He had to give them direction spiritually. And the good news is Noah didn't stay, you know, I look at Lot, what did he do? He walked out of Sodom and left his daughters there. He walked out of Sodom and left his son-in-laws there. He walked out of Sodom and left his sons there. He walked out with his wife, two of his daughters, and as they were walking out, and God began to put judgment on there. His wife turns around, and what's happened? She becomes a pillar of stone. God told her what happened. He lost his wife. Later we find because of the wickedness that his daughters had picked up from Sodom, he was involved in a wicked act, and then tribes now that they're still warring over there came about due to all of that with two of his daughters and the whole thing, and he left it all because he himself stayed there and suffered. The Bible tells us righteous Lot was constantly plagued by the wickedness that was in Sodom. But you know what? He didn't pull his family out of there. He didn't pull his family out of there. He stayed there right in the midst of it and lost his family. Noah, on the other hand, here's this wickedness, and yet here's his three sons and his three daughter-in-laws who come on the ark, and he saves his household. And the Bible says that was an act of faith. It gives us that as an important thing. And this day we need men who save their families. They pull their kids out of the fire, as it were, and care enough about them to give them godly principles, godly guidelines, and to say that, you know, this is how we're going to live. Well, such and such, I don't care. This is how we're going to live. This is what we're going to do. You know why? And again, you show them from the Word of this, because this is what God says. And God's going to bless you. You know, you're not missing anything. Follow me. You're not missing anything if you follow God. You're not. You say, oh, I'm missing this. No, no. the joy that comes, the blessing that comes. And Brother Bob could attest to that, and his wife this morning, the joy that comes from serving. You're not missing anything if you follow the Lord and live for the Lord. But again, it involves your whole lives, and we need men who will stand up. And sometimes your daughter, you know, brings that guy home with three hairs on his chest and all the different things, you know, sticking out, and he's all this. And you say, no, that's not the one. You say, well, she'll throw a fit. Not if she knows you love her and you stand for what's right. We need men who are willing to stand, men who are willing to lead their homes, men who are willing to lead their homes in devotions and who are willing to pray with their kids and love their kids. And you know what? Those kind of kids will rise up and call their fathers blessed. They'll rise up one day and say, I am thankful for my dad. I'm thankful he stood for truth. I'm thankful he stood for righteousness. I'm thankful he stood for what's right. And you look at Noah, and again, he seems like such a big character, but it was just a man who walked with God, who was faithful. And God said, here's a big job. And Noah said, I don't know how in the world I can accomplish it. I don't know how I can bring it about, but you told me to. I'm going to do it. And following God and living that way, we see, of course, the end of the story, all that was accomplished, all that came about because of Noah. And in doing that, notice he saved his own household, but he condemned the world. He condemned the world. And it says he condemned the world. And what it means is because he went ahead and lived righteously and showed that God is true and God is right, it condemned those who did not. Because he proved you can follow God, you can live for God, and God will bless you if you do. And that life is what brought condemnation to the rest of the world for their wickedness and for their sins. And then last of all, it said he became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. You know how Noah was saved? By faith. The Bible said without faith it's impossible to please him. Every Old Testament character that was saved by faith, just like New Testament characters. They showed their faith by their works, the way they carried out their lives. It showed that they believed God, they followed God, they lived for God. We need men today who are willing to be those kinds of fathers. You have a big job. You have a big job. And as fathers, as grandfathers, you say, well, I blew it as a father, and now I'm a grandfather. It's still not too late. If you stand for truth, you stand for right, you still say what the Word of God says, and you say, well, they don't do it. It doesn't make any difference. They need that solid rock that's there speaking the truth, encouraging in the truth, constantly giving that pat on the back and say, live for God, follow God, do what's right. And God will bless you for it, and they will remember it. And every once in a while, we run into somebody, well, I remember. And that's what brings about the change in their life, because they turn because of what God accomplished in their heart. Be a man of God. Be willing to stand for God. Realize, even though it's an intimidating world in where you work, maybe where you're involved, it's still a good thing to follow God. And there are men who are doing it, and it's amazing to see what God does in their lives. And you can be one of them. You can be one of them. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, we hate to hit such a huge story and a man that's accomplished so much in such a short time, but I pray that it would just give our minds someone to think about for a time. Lord, we can complain about the wickedness that's around us, and we can complain about what a horrible society we live in, and we can complain about all these things, but there were other men who stood in just as evil of times, and they still stood for truth and righteousness, and you still blessed them. And you even made it possible for us to have the gospel today because of some of those individuals. Some gave their lives for the truth, and yet they're inheriting the greatest joy in all the world and being in your presence and the blessing that you pour out upon them. Lord, this world is a short time, but we have an opportunity to make a big dent in it with our lives if we'll follow you and live for you. I pray that you'll challenge men to be that kind of man today. Challenge fathers to go ahead and stand for truth, what's right. And Lord, to be willing to stand up to the wickedness of the world so that we might have young people, Lord. The one thing about so many of the wicked lifestyles is they're not making new generations. And we have the opportunity as Christians to do that and send out Christian young people into the world to make a great change. Lord, we want to do everything we can till you come back, and I pray that we would. With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, maybe you're here in that first step that we talked about, the step of faith of salvation. You've never become actually a child of God. Again, that's step number one. And you do that by trusting in Jesus as your Savior. It's not a, it can kind of come, become a thing. You know, somebody says, well, they do this thing at Maranatha Baptist Church. They have an invitation. They ask people to be saved. And that's not what we want you to look at it as. It's not a thing. It's an opportunity. An opportunity for you to become a child of God. We're giving you the greatest choice in all the world where you can say, I want to be a child of God. I want to be His child. And God said He made it possible, and that's all I'm telling you, by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, by His burial, and by His resurrection. He said, if you'll believe in the Lord Jesus and that He did those things for you, that He will save you through the blood that He shed, paid your penalty for sin, and then the new life that He gives you because He raised from the dead, He will save you. He made it all possible. He said, there's no works that we can do to do it. He made it possible through His gift. All you have to do is receive that gift. You say, well, can't I do it privately? Yes, you can. You can. All we're encouraging you to do is do it. Do it. And sometimes people would like to have somebody share some verses with them, help them in that. And we feel like that's important because you need to start growing in the Bible like we were talking today, and that's why we do that. But if you'd like to trust Christ as your Savior, you say, I'd like to do that. Basically, here's what you're doing. You're saying, Lord, I can't be saved by my own works. I can't be saved by going to a church or joining a church or being part of any institution or anything. I can't. All that will save me is the blood of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Right now, I put my faith in what He did for me, Jesus Christ. I'm putting my faith in that, and from this moment, that's what I'm going to trust to get me to heaven. Not me, just what Jesus did for me, and God in His love sent Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. And the Bible says when you make that determination and you tell God that, He saves you. He changes you. Simple, yes, not for God. It was a great and horrendous thing for God to be separated from God when He took our sin upon Him. But He made it simple for you, and He asks you to do that even now. We'd love to pray for you. If you say, Pastor, I'd love to pray that prayer and trust Christ. No one's looking. Would you just raise your hand and say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to know for sure I'm saved. Anyone this morning? How many of you men would say, as far as in your heart at this moment, I'm not talking about the past. I'm talking about the future. But you say, you know, I want to be a man of God where if God needs me to step up and do something, I'd be willing to do it. Right now, He needs you to step up and lead your family and to protect your family and for your family to be have the opportunity to know who God is and for you to lead them in that direction and show them the truth of God. That's what they need. But that first thing, you need to be willing to stand up for that. But you just say, I'd like to be that kind of man. I'd like to be one that follows the Lord. Just lift your hand, pray. God bless you. Thank you. Father, you see all these hands all over. I pray for these men. Many of them are living for you. And they have made those decisions and they have followed you. Some may see some areas in their lives where they fail. We all do. But Lord, we just ask that we would keep coming back to that point that you will honor us, you will bless us. And as far as our families are concerned, that's the most important thing, I think, to all of us, is seeing them grow up and be blessed by you, walk in a way where they're not facing all the hurts and heartaches of the world. And Lord, where instead they're under your hand of blessing and joy as you'd give it to them. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus and for His sake. Amen. Thank you this morning. I know we've gone a little while here, but I appreciate so much your attention. And our big thing is we want to wish you fathers a happy Father's Day. But at the same time, want to encourage you. We encourage you. Be a man of God. Be willing to stand for God. And when you get home, major something. Okay. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you.